I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about Isaiah chapter 1 and how it may pertain to America. Isaiah chapter 1, how it may pertain to America. We've got so many things going on in our country right now. I think more and more people are waking up to the reality that our country is in trouble. Our country seems to be going down the wrong path. There's all kinds of controversial, tragic events that are happening in different ways. And there's a real concern over this upcoming election and what's going to happen and what this is going to mean to America. We're watching events in Western Europe. There are tragedies happening there. There are tragedies happening right here in America. But what is the nature of these tragedies, brethren? What is the nature? Are they just happening, or are they happening for a reason? And is the reason what we're being told by the political pundits on the left and on the right, or are there spiritual reasons that these things are occurring? Now, as I'm talking about this, I just saw a story here down in Florida, in Pensacola, Florida. You had a satanic invocation that went on down there just this past week. A city council meeting in Pensacola, Florida, turned chaotic Thursday when officials allowed a local religious freedom activist to start the event with a satanic prayer. Apparently, a Satanist, a member of the Satanic Temple of West Florida, who had been protesting for some time having any kind of prayer before the council meetings there, insisted that if there could be some kind of Christian prayer that goes on, then there should also be satanic prayer, because that's what the law states. Now, of course, all of this goes back to the corrupt and misguided interpretation of the First Amendment that emerged after World War II, where you had groups like the ACLU and other groups that were arguing that the First Amendment somehow or other guarantees that all religions are equally valid in the United States, meaning that when it comes to any kind of events, political events or anything like that, that Christianity is no more important than any other belief system. Now, anybody can go and research the commentary of Supreme Court Justice Joseph Story, who was from the founding era, who was appointed by James Madison. Read Story's commentary on the First Amendment. Very important, brethren. Very important, because he makes it very clear that the purpose of the First Amendment was not to make Christianity equal with pagan belief systems. That's not the real meaning or the original meaning of the First Amendment. Now, there's no question that it has been reinterpreted in modern times to mean exactly that. But you go in online, you watch that video, you got some guy there in a black robe, and he's giving some satanic invocation before the city council. Now, there were many Christians who were there, who were lifting their hands up, and they were praying, "Our Father, who art in heaven," etc., praying the Lord's Prayer against this and trying to oppose it. But it shows the real, that we've got real problems in our country, and those problems are spiritual. They're spiritual. As Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. That's what's going on here. Now let's look at what we find in Isaiah chapter 1, where we have one in verse 1 where it says, "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah," etc. And it goes on. Okay. And it says, well, we'll go to verse 2. "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." Okay? Now, there I believe Isaiah is describing really the condition of mankind apart from God. Mankind apart from God is sick and desperately wicked and utterly corrupt apart from God. It's just like when God had Moses put his hand into his breast at the burning bush and he pulls it out and it's full of leprosy, white as snow, showing the corruption in the heart of man. Unregenerate man is corrupt and evil, and there's only one cure. There's only one solution, brethren, for the corruption in the hearts of men. There's absolutely only one cure, and that is the grace of God through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This sick, putrefying body that is sick and dying, there's nothing that's ultimately going to rescue it from its eventual ruin. The only thing that's going to rescue man is the grace of God and salvation, the salvation of our Lord. That's what we're brought to. That's what we're brought to. That's why I say the only thing that's really going to save America is the gospel. What saved mankind out of the dark age was the gospel of Jesus Christ, was the preaching of the true gospel, the recovery of the Bible as the word of God, the widespread publishing of the Bible throughout the countries of Western Europe. Their eyes were opened, their ears were opened, they could see the light of truth, and they came out of the darkness of that terrible time. But it was through the light of the word of God. That's what did it. And that's what we need today, brethren. There's no question. So, but look at what Isaiah goes on to say in verse 7. He says, "Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence." Look at that. Strangers devour it in your presence. What? Think of the things that... We've got all these riots going on. We've got chaos going on. We've got these shootings going on in our country. We've got unrest, civil unrest, political unrest, all of these divisions going on. And we've got this problem of illegal aliens flooding in by the hundreds of thousands, by the millions. And all these complaints. "Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers." That right now is the one thing that many people are concerned about. That's what many people in Western Europe are concerned about, that the countries, these countries of theirs are going to be overthrown by all of these strangers, these migrants that are coming in, and they're creating chaos in the countries of Western Europe. And that's the situation in France. That's what's got so many people in France concerned about this recent attack that took place there in Nice. Just one of a number of ongoing attacks. And I mean, they've got these the migrants there that are firebombing cars by the tens of thousands in that country every year. Strangers in their midst. And we have a concern here in America about the same thing. Not only the illegals coming in from the Mexican border, but now we've got politicians like Hillary Clinton who want to bring in hundreds of thousands, possibly millions of migrants from these other countries. And, of course, they're being brought in even now. They're keeping out the Christians, apparently. You go read the stories online, they could be bringing in Christian refugees, but they won't. Apparently, they are blocking the Christian refugees. They're bringing in all of these Islamic refugees that are simply not compatible with Western culture. Simply not compatible. But they're bringing them in. Why? Why? Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Sodom and Gomorrah were wiped out. They were destroyed with fire and brimstone. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. And we read about this remnant. There is at one point where God says, I have reserved unto myself some 3,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. That's the kind of remnant. Those who will not bow to the wiles of the devil. We talked about in this program before the story of Gideon, where Gideon and his 300 warriors that go into battle, you go study how God eliminated, because there were initially, there was a great host that came out to fight with Gideon, but then God said, you got too many. So God starts paring them down. And then at one point, he has them go and drink water from the stream. And when they go to drink water, depending on how they kneeled down to drink water, there were those who would bow down a certain way that would indicate that one of the theories is, if you read the commentaries on it, one of the theories is that they were in the habit of bowing down to idols. Those who had bowed the knee, if you will, to Baal or some other strange god. And those were the ones who were sent away. And those who had not bowed the knee to Baal, they were the ones who fought alongside Gideon. So, but except for that remnant, Isaiah says, except for that very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Now, you've had so many references to Sodom and Gomorrah in modern times as we have watched the moral decline of our country, and really the moral decline of Western civilization overall, has just been a steady decline. And what to do about it? That's the question that many of us are asking and have been asking for many years. All right, we are going to go to a commercial break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about Isaiah chapter 1 and America right after this.
Christian Film Ministry, Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today. Now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're talking about Isaiah chapter 1 and how it pertains to America. Are we watching events unfold in our country that, as many people believe, as many God-fearing, Bible-believing teachers have taught for years now, are we watching events unfold that foretell a judgment that is coming upon America? Why? Because we've turned away from the commandments of God. We've turned away from the gospel. We've turned away from the teachings of our forefathers that have been handed down to us. I mean, if you look at the history of America, going back to the Puritans and the Pilgrims. In fact, this last week I had family that was up in Plymouth, Massachusetts, where they have the Mayflower replica. And they have I've been up there several times before, but I had family up there, and my daughter Samantha was up there with them, and she took some pictures of the statue of William Bradford, which is, they have this just really great statue of William Bradford there. And she took pictures of some of the inscriptions that they had from Bradford's, where they use quotes from Bradford's book of Plymouth Plantation, where he says, there's two quotes I wanted to read to you. He says, quote, "So they left the goodly and pleasant city, which had been their resting place near 12 years, but they knew they were pilgrims and looked not much on those things, but lift up their eyes to the heavens, their dearest country, and quieted their spirits." Then he says, "Lastly, and which was not least, a great hope and inward zeal they had of laying some good foundation, or at least to make some way thereunto, for the propagating and advancing the gospel of the kingdom of Christ in those remote parts of the world, yea, though they should be but even as stepping stones unto others for the performing of so great a work." Okay, so Bradford makes it very, very clear. Now, here at Bradford, this is beginnings, because you had Jamestown, 1607, Plymouth, 1620, Massachusetts Bay, 1630. But in the beginnings of the founding of our country, the pilgrims that came here, and the Puritans surely, came here for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why they built and established the 13 colonies. It was first and foremost to preach the gospel in the New World. And so we have this heritage that's been handed down to us, and it didn't go away as a result of the American Revolution. Although the American Revolution, certainly, there's some twists and turns there that become very complex. But overall, the prevailing view of the American Revolution was really based on political Protestantism, as Samuel Adams says when he signed the Declaration of Independence. Now, obviously from then on, once we get into the 20th century, things change significantly. They change dramatically. After World War II, you have a very different view that emerges. But of course, many of us believe that what happened there was the communists that were infiltrating our system in the 1920s and 30s. They really began to gain momentum through the education system in the 1950s and 60s. And then you have the Rees Commission, or the Rees Committee, and their findings, where they uncovered this massive network of communists, Marxists, that infiltrated the system, and in particular were subverting our education system. And I've talked about this on the program before, brethren. The reason why so many people today, so our young people especially, think that socialism is a good idea in this country right now is because they've been brainwashed through the education system. That's the reason why. They would never believe it otherwise. They didn't just come to this because they think it's a good idea. No, it's because they have been systematically, one step at a time, over decades, the education system has been modified, altered, changed, etc. And for those who want to learn more about this, you can go on to YouTube and look up Norman Dodd, D-O-D-D. He was the director of research for the Rees Committee, but he's the one who talked about, in particular, the subversion of our education system through these tax-exempt foundations. But what the Marxist element is trying to do in our country is they're employing a divide-and-conquer strategy. So what they're looking for are arguments that can be used to foment hatred, agitation, discord, and unrest. Okay? So to create a divided mentality in the country. So there's always an us against them or them against us, whatever it is, a Hegelian dialectic, quite frankly, where they've got to divide people, get them into one camp, one far camp, far left or far right, whatever it is, so that through division, our country can eventually be overcome. That, I believe, is what's going on. There's no question about that. I mean, Jesus himself said that a nation, a kingdom divided against itself shall fall. A kingdom divided against itself shall fall. But what's the way out of this, brethren? I think it's back to the Word of God. Well, in Isaiah chapter 1, it goes on, where in verse 10 it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations." And it goes on, we'll skip down to verse 16, where it says, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." So, it is, I mean, the choice is very clear. The choice is very clear that we can either obey God or ultimately suffer judgment. My heart and my hope and my prayer for our country, brethren, is that somehow or other, God will cause a national repentance to come about in this great nation of ours, that somehow or other we'll turn away collectively from sin and rebellion against God, and we'll turn back toward the gospel, back toward the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. All right, brethren, that's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.